Hi, everyone. It's a great weather, isn't it? I said to Jonathan and Jonas, like, I feel overdressed because I had my jacket on. And then I saw someone else with a jacket and a suit. I was like, oh, well, I feel okay. And it's a nice weather. It's a great day. My wife is somewhere out there. I think she's going to come on in a minute because you're going to get two for the price of one today. So I'm going to be sharing some things, and Rebecca is going to be adding a few things as well. So I go an email with a text, and I'm going to be talking about that. However, I want to pray before we start, because it's always good to pray. Does anyone want to pray today? Okay, that's like five people. Does anyone want to pray today? Good. You understand with me? When we're worshiping, I actually had a psalm. But I thought, oh, I'm speaking. I don't want to have to just... Anyway, I guess I should have. I was kind of hesitant thinking, I don't know because I'm speaking. Anyway, the psalm I had is kind of what I want us to pray, really, before I start. It's Psalm 150. In fact, I've even got it opened here. It's a well-known one, I think. Psalm 149, verse 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and the two-edged sword in their hand. And, you know, I came in here, you know, just really just praying. But also during the worship, I was just focusing on the Lord. And I just had these words just come to me. Just, you know, God has given us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I just feel like we should step into that place of releasing the praise of God. Because I remember, I think John or someone said, you know, let's all release our praise. And I heard a few people, you know, I was like, I'm sure we can all lift our voices. You don't have to shout. I can shout sometimes, but you know, as in, let your ears hear your words and lift up praise to God. And let's take the attention off ourselves right now, and let's focus on the Lord. And that's what we're gonna do for this short time, just a minute or so. Okay? So I'm gonna lead us out. I'm gonna pray over us. I'm gonna declare words over us. But I want all of us to do this together. Is that okay? Is that okay? Okay, so let's do this. Father, we honor you today. Father, we praise you. We declare that your praise will be in our mouth. Okay, so right now, let's do that. Let's lift praise to him. Let's thank him and let's adore him and let's declare that word, that every spirit of heaviness, every weight, every depression right now lifts off of us as we declare the praise of God. Okay, so Jesus, we honor you. Jesus, we put you in the position that you are in, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the one that was and needs to come. And we declare your praise in this room. We declare your praise over our hearts, over our lives. Father, let your praise fill this place right now. And Lord, we declare, Lord, the spirit of heaviness lives, Lord. Father, we thank you for that garment of praise. The high praises of you, Lord, continually will be in our mouth and a double-edged sword in our hand, Father, executing your judgments against the enemies of God. So, Father, that's what we do right now. Let every atmosphere that's not conducive to your kingdom right now be replaced by the atmosphere of heaven. Father, we thank you that heaven comes down. We thank you for a spirit of revelation over Mount Chapel. We're thinking for a spirit of wisdom in this place right now. So we take charge of this atmosphere and we declare a spirit of freedom here right now. That the Lord is here. The Lord reigns in this place. You reign, Father. And where your spirit is, there is freedom. So we are declaring that word. Freedom reigns in this place. We honor you, Jesus. We adore you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. And we're here for you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for a lovely weather. Thank you for an awesome day. Thank you for your revelation and words you're going to release to us today, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, you can have your seats. Thank you. I just want to really encourage you. This is one of the things that I do, and it amazes me how many Christians don't tend to do this when you're just going through a difficult time emotionally. By the way, I want you to understand God is concerned about how you feel. I know we hear a lot about, we heard a rap about the fact that, you know, we can't be led by emotions. That's true. We're believers, not feelers. So we're not led by feelings. We're led by faith. That's an absolute truth that we have to stick by. But on the other hand, God is also concerned about how we feel. Because if he knows the number of hairs on your head, which you're not even bothered about, he knows so much detail about your life. What makes you think he doesn't know and think or feel what you, or is concerned about how you feel? If he knows that much detail that you're not bothered about, why is he not going to be bothered about things you're bothered about? You see what I'm trying to say? He knows the number of head on my head, so he must be concerned that I'm feeling a bit emotionally rubbish right now. He's concerned about that. Or I'm feeling this pressure right now. And when we're in that place, we have to learn how to just take a stand and just release the word of God, release the truth of the word of God. And not in our heads, but with our mouth. Listen to the verse I read. It says, the praises of God be in their mouth. And that double-edged sword in their hand. And remember in Ephesians, is it Ephesians? Yeah, the armor of God. In Ephesians 6, it talks about the fact that the only offensive weapon is the sword of God in the armor. And what's that? It's the word of God. And you know what activates the sword? Your mouth. What activates the sword of the Spirit is your mouth. It has to come out. And there's, I think in Revelation, it talks about a sword coming out of the mouth of Jesus, if that's correct. Yeah, that's right, isn't it? I'm not heretical here, right? It talks about the sword coming out of the mouth of Jesus. And I think that's a picture of the word of God being released. When you speak the word, even when you don't feel it, it changes the atmosphere. Eventually, your feelings will catch up. So the point I'm trying to make is God is concerned about how you feel, because he says in Romans, I believe, the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's think about that a moment. Righteousness affects your relationship with God. Peace and joy affect your emotions. You can't tell me you've got peace and joy, emotions are not aligned with that reality. Impossible. Peace and joy affect your emotions. So God is actually concerned about your emotions aligning with truth. So I am concerned about not just worshiping and praying, but my whole being aligning with that reality. Because as Christians, we can get stuck in this rut of just doing the religious thing. Okay, we come to church, we sing a few songs, we say a few words, might lift our hands here or there. Okay, we do communion, we do this. But our hearts are disconnected emotionally. Love the Lord, you'll go, oh, your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Your emotions are involved. So what I'm trying to say to you is, if your emotions are disconnected from your spirituality, you should not accept that as okay. And I'm not going to accept that as okay. If my emotions are disconnected from my spirituality, they are supposed to be together. Now, I'm not led by my emotions. So if I don't feel okay, that's not to say I'm not going to pray. I'm going to see God in worship and prayer, whether I feel good or not. But I'm not going to accept the fact that my emotions are dull and my heart is disconnected while I'm seeking the face of God, while I'm worshiping. No, I may start out there, but my goal is that my emotions eventually align with the truth of God's word, where I'm worshiping and my heart is stirred. That's important to God, you know. He's concerned about not just the physical appearance, but our hearts. Anyway, that was an introduction. So, I said today, you're going to get two for the price of one. My wife is here. We both went to this gathering in America, Azusa Street. Well, Azusa now it's called. Celebrating 110 years since the Azusa Street outpouring of 1906 with William Seymour. And it was incredible. There's so much that happened. My focus this morning is not to talk so much about that. However, there's some things that we're going to try to implement, well, or just share from our experience over there. And what I really loved about this was a stadium, about 65, 70,000 people. And Lou Engel, who's a prayer guy, prayer leader, the Lord had given him this word about the call. The call is a prayer movement, and it's been going for a few years now, since 2000, I think. And the gatherings, I've been to one in 2007, and the call is primarily a worship, fasting, and prayer movement. So it's 12 hours. Worship and prayer and fasting, and thousands of people. The one I went to in 2007 had over 70,000 people there. So Lou's been doing this for all these years, and recently he received this word, and the word was that there's going to come a shift to the call, and it's not just going to be prayer and fasting, but it's going to be prayer, fasting, the proclamation of the gospel, and signs and wonders. So when he received that word, he was convinced that there was no way he was going to be able to do that himself. So he connected, he knows, obviously, Bill Johnson and Bethel, and these guys, they've been connected for years. So he was convinced in his heart they weren't going to go to that stadium without Bethel being 100% behind this. So what ended up happening was really that prayer, fasting, proclamation of the gospel, and signs and wonders and miracles. So it was amazing to see that happen. And what I loved being a part of that gathering was to see people who would call themselves evangelists as their primary gifting take on the identity of an intercessor. And people who call themselves intercessors take on the identity of an evangelist. Because what I see most times in the UK, or from my experience anyway, it's people who are activists who are like, we're just going to go out and do it. You know, they tend to be the ones that would just say, send us prayer requests. Oh, can you pray for us while we do this? You know, and by the way, let me just say this. I love those people, and sometimes I can be like that myself. You can never outsource prayer. Everyone is called to pray. It's not just for some intercessors, in quote. So what I tend to find many times in this side, you know, in the UK, my experience, some of the relationships I have is the people who call themselves the evangelists would almost let the people who are doing the prayer to do the prayer while they just do the evangelism. And then the people who are doing the prayer will let the evangelists do the evangelism while they do the prayer. Actually, we're all called to do all of the above. And the fivefold ministry doesn't have intercession as part of one of it. It doesn't have, intercession is not an office in the fivefold. In fact, intercession is not a gift. There's no such thing as a gift of prayer. I've never read that in scripture. If you have, let me know, and I can update my teaching. Never seen the gift of intercession of prayer. We're all called to the ministry. Now, there are people who are carrying grace and leadership in that. And I know I carry grace in calling people to prayer, but that's not to say it's about me just doing it. And everyone send me your prayer request, and I just lock myself in the room and just pray for you. I can do that sometimes, but, you know, we're all called to do this as well. So what I loved in America was a combination of different anointings and grace that God has poured out on different parts of the body of Christ. But it all came together, you know, and I got the opportunity to meet some of these people and was just massively impacted by their life. You see, somehow, many times we see how God has raised certain people up in the body of Christ and how they've got so much influence. We see the glory, but don't know the story. And many times many people want the influence, but don't actually want to go through the journey that led to that. There is a journey that's led to majority of what we see right now and the people God's using right now. It's not just about gifting. There's such a depth of character. And I got to experience some of these things. Some of these people, I got to meet with them and speak with them. And my wife would tell you, we were just blown away by the humility, by the sincerity, by just everything. It was just about the love that they carried in God, you know. And if I mention names, you will know them. You know, they're well-known Christian leaders in the nation, in the nations of the earth. So we're just really impacted by that. One thing I'm going to quickly mention, because I forgot to say it, is we've got this prayer gathering coming up in two Saturdays. It's a prayer storm on the 21st of May. I've got some flyers out there. If you want to join us, that'll be awesome. Rivers and Robots are going to be playing, leading us in worship. We're going to be in 7 hours, not 15 hours. LA was 15 hours. Imagine this, 15 hours in a stadium and it's raining and people stayed. 15 hours. I mean, I was by the eighth or maybe, I don't know, 10th hour, I was like, my gosh, I'm tired. But it was so incredible. One of the impactful moments. Oh, yeah. So it'll be great to see you here. Saturday, 12th of May, two Saturdays from now. One of the impactful moments at the gathering, what's that? What did I say? 12th, oh, sorry, 21st of May. Yes, thank you, Becky. One of the impactful moments at the gathering was, you've probably seen this online already, but there's a guy called Sean Bowles, and he got up and released these prophetic words. The way he kind of does it, because I've been in a meeting where he's done it before, is he kind of writes down these words before he goes into the meeting, like, you know, a name, maybe a husband and wife, God might give him their names, and maybe their marriage, what's the anniversary date. And he doesn't know who they are. He just writes all these things down in faith, believing that there's someone in the audience somewhere. So he gets up, 70,000 people, and said, is there a John here, maybe married to Anna? And 21st September, does that make any sense? And so it kind of like just a bit of a pause. And then it's like, if you're here, I just want you to wave your hand or make some noise. 70,000 people, it's kind of like just an unusual kind of setting to do something like that. So you just have this couple somewhere way in the back just shouting, and then the camera pans over to them, and then he says to them, well, does these names make any sense to you? He reads out four names, which happens to be maybe the four names of their kids, and then he says this, and then he just has all these prophetic words. And he did this for about maybe four or five people, What I found really interesting about this was a crowd of 70,000 people, by the activation of the prophetic gift, kind of shrunk to like a living room size meeting. Because all of a sudden, there was an awareness that God actually knows the details of our lives. God cares about the details of our lives. And God knows us more intimately than we can ever understand. And there was such specific... In fact, one of our friends actually received the word from Sean, actually, from the ramp. And we know this guy. Sean doesn't know this guy. And he calls him out, is there a John here from Alabama and you're with a Lauren? And we know this guy, and he starts to speak all these words that we know about. You know, he's a finance director, and da 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 da. He just starts saying all these things. Now, if you're in a crowd of 70,000 people, and your name gets called out, and there's such a specific prophetic word like that, tell me, how are you going to feel? You're going to feel like, my goodness, God is real. And I mean, something like that happened to my wife and I recently, where we had a significant breakthrough, and one of our trustees just said to us, wow, God is real. Some things just shake you and wake you up into the reality that we are not just coming to church because we have nothing else to do and just some bored people who are just weird and who the world looks down on and think, oh, look at those weird people. No, no, no. This stuff is real. It's more real than we even realize. And some of these moments just kind of shake us up into that reality. So the verse I've been given today to talk about is John 10:27. And you all know it because it's a famous verse. It says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And this is a very important concept and reality. And it communicates actually quite a lot about the character and the nature of Jesus. One, he says, he's our shepherd in that. He says, we are his sheep. And he says, we have ears to hear his voice. So we got to live in the reality of the fact that Jesus is speaking to us. So I want to ask you this question. When was the last time you heard God speak? And is that something that's a regular occurrence in your life? Or is it something that just happens every now and again? Or are you aware of the fact that God speaks to you? Or do you just think it's for the prophets? Because actually, Jesus is speaking to his sheep. Now, why I guess, you know, stirred up about in this is my sheep hear my voice. See, we don't need to worry about his ability to speak to us. The issue is not whether he's speaking. The issue is whether we're actually hearing what he's saying. Because one of the main challenges we have is so much distraction is going on. And it's like you have so many waves in this room right now. And if you have a radio receiver, you can tune in to a specific frequency and hear what's going on that frequency or whatever, you know. So if you don't tune in, you won't be able to hear it, but that's going to say it's not there. It's like that when it comes to actually being able to discern what God is saying. What God is saying, God is always speaking, but there's so much distraction and noise. You know, Psalm 23, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. What does he do after that? He restores my soul. The noise is in the soul. There's so much commotion. If you don't believe me, try to be still before God for 30 minutes. Just try to be still. And you realize how much noise there is going on in your mind. So much is going on, and many times we don't realize that many times can hinder us being able to discern what God is saying. Even in the midst of all that, the times God speaks, and because of all the noise, we're not able to distinctly hear his voice. And the time God speaks, and even in the midst of the noise, we can still sometimes discern his voice. But I believe where he's calling us to go is to be in a place where we are led beside the still waters of God, which actually I believe is connected to the Psalms that says, be still and know that I'm God, where there is a knowing that comes from the stillness in our souls, and we can easily, more easily discern the voice of God. Now, this is very important because actually this is very much connected to the end times. And I'm going to bring my wife up in a moment because there's a few things we wanted to talk about. You know the prophecy about the last days, Joel 2:28. It says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. That is all about God speaking. Young men, your old men will dream dreams. Okay, having dreams, God speaks in dreams. Your young men will prophesy. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. And then your young men will see visions. So seeing visions, dreams, and prophecy. Those are gifts of the Spirit that are highlighted in the last days. So actually, you read Corinthians and it talks about the fact that, you know, do not forbid, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. See, there is an emphasis on the prophetic gifting in the last days. And I believe there is a calling on the people of God in these days to develop the hearing to hear what God's saying. Now, what is the prophetic gifting? The prophetic gifting is the ability to really just discern what God is saying and proclaiming the different dimensions of the prophetic. Proclaiming the word of God, declaring the word of God. It can be seen as prophetic in the context of even preaching. Declaring the word, that's a prophetic process. When you speak out the praise of God, you declare the word, that's a prophetic thing. But when you prophesy, it's like you're hearing or you're discerning the will of God and you're releasing those decrees as well. So there are different dimensions of prophecy. And to be honest, I don't understand everything about the prophetic. I am amazed about the prophetic. I'm very intrigued with the prophetic. However, I want to also bring another side to this whole thing, because Jesus also says this in in Matthew 7, I think. It talks about many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Now, that's a scary verse. For anyone who is really serious about God, that is a scary verse. You know why? Because the people saying this are people who claim to know God. Because they said, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. Look at what he then says to them. I never knew you. Now, come back to this verse we just read in John 10. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. So I'm talking about the prophetic gift, but there is a danger to run with the prophetic gift outside of intimacy with God. When he says, I don't know you, it's talking about an intimate connection with God. So this is the problem. Gifting can take us out of a place of intimacy with God, and we can function in a gifting without connection to the heart of God. And people can be wowed by the gifting, thinking we're actually walking with God. In other words, we cannot allow gifting to be the measurement of spirituality. Okay, now, what I'm about to say right now is heavy. With the gift of the Spirit, you can end up in hell. These verses have just shown us, I prophesied in your name, yet get away from me. With the fruits of the Spirit, you cannot end up in hell. Why? Because the Lord is the one that works the fruits of the Spirit, and the giftings and the callings of God are without repentance. So the point is, you cannot allow the anointing on your life to become a sign of God's approval of your behavior. The anointing of God on my life is not a sign of his approval of my behavior, because God can work through you and you still be far away from him at a heart level. So what I'm trying to bring here is the fact that we're not just after the gifting, we're after the intimacy. We're not just after the display of the power of God. We want the heart of God. So my sheep hear my voice, the prophetic gifting. I know them, intimacy. They follow me, the crucified lifestyle. The crucified lifestyle means take up your cross and follow me. See, have you ever thought about this before? If Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, where are you following him to? Well, you're following him to where he was crucified. So set up your own cross so that you will be crucified on that cross. Two people are trying to kill you. God is trying to kill you and the devil is trying to kill you. You choose. who you want to kill you. God is trying to kill the flesh nature that is in opposition to his character and his nature. And he would continually work on us in that area. Because the thing is, we can easily get sidetracked by... See, there are things we're praying for right now. We're praying for revival. We're praying for God to move. It's not that God doesn't want to do it. In fact, God's desire to move is greater than our desire to ask him to move. But we're not ready. If we were, it would be here. The things that we're praying for, without us realizing it, we're not actually ready for what we're praying for. Because if God was to give us the thing we're praying for now, that thing would destroy us. So perhaps God is actually delaying something because he's getting us ready. So I'm saying, God, don't put me on a platform I'm not ready for. Don't put me in a position where my character is not mature to handle the responsibility that's going to come with that. Because many people just want the shine and the glory, but don't actually want to go deep in God. And it's possible. I put this on my Facebook not too long ago, and I got incredible amounts of response from it that I was surprised by. But it was a word that I felt the Lord gave me that, you know, there's many things going on right now in the body of Christ. They're good things, but they're not God things. They're human initiated things. They're not heavenly initiated things. And the danger for people who have a heart to serve God is to then start to measure God's blessing on your life based on the success of the things that you're doing for God. And when I say success, human definition of success. And it goes like this. The fact that God has called you to do something, and you being faithful in doing what he's called you to do does not mean you're going to look like a success in the eyes of everyone. Maybe a year or two ago, I felt the Lord asked me, James, are you okay to do what I've called you to do, even if you look like a failure in the eyes of people? And I want to ask you the same question. Are you okay to do what God has called you to do, even if you look like a failure in the eyes of Christians? Because it's possible that what God has called you to do may not look like success to other people. But you have to have a different definition of success, which is not the external display of giftings, but the intimate walk with God. And then realize that Jesus was on the cross, dying, and everyone around him had gone. Well, most people had left him, and everyone looked at him and called him a failure. He was fulfilling the purpose of God in his life on that cross, and everyone said he was a failure in that moment. But actually, that was his moment of greatest victory. The moment that everyone thought he was the worst failure was his moment of greatest victory. Now, where I want to bring this back to is the importance of being able to hear God for yourself. Sometimes I find that in the body of Christ, we can put a lot of responsibility or pressure on the people up front. So we want them to hear from God for us. We go to, oh, can you, you know, what's God saying? And Becky, do you want to come up? Because I want to share some things. You know, we're talking about that scripture in Corinthians. This is Rebecca, by the way.
Hi.
We're talking about that scripture. And I wanted to share the whole thing about prophecy. You know, when you were talking about, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So there's a scripture in the Holy Bible that says, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, but particularly desire the gift of prophecy. And I think that, you know, the majority of us, including myself, I can honestly relate to the fact that actually we eagerly desire a personal prophecy, not the gift of prophecy. So you put more emphasis on someone else to prophesy over you rather than actually we're supposed to be prophesying over each other. We're supposed to be eagerly desiring a gift to bless each other because it edifies the church. And it makes you actually think, actually, if we were actually all eagerly desiring the gift of prophecy, would we have a lot more words spoken over our lives? Would it be actually a normal thing to go into church and for someone to come up to you and go, oh, I had a word for you last night, or I had a dream about you the other day, or, oh, God was just speaking to me about you in the car just this morning.
Yeah, that's good. And I want you to stay up here as well. So, we felt like we wanted to release this over the church. Now, I don't know if you've done this before. You might not have done this before, but you're going to do it now. Is ask God for a word. And the reason why I wanted to kind of go in detail a bit about the whole kind of, you know, you can prophesy my name and still not have intimacy, is the focus of this is not so much a function of gifting. The focus of this is to be able to go deeper in intimacy with God. And when we receive words from God, for me, the way we'll test that word is if it's in consistency with God's nature and character revealed in the word. So it's not just about all these ideas that are just far off and don't have any root foundation on the word. What I feel stirred about in Mount Chapel today is activating individuals to know that you can hear God for yourself and that God does speak to you. So what we're going to do is, do you want to explain what we're going to do?
Yeah. So, Okay. So what we want to do eventually, if we get there, we will in Jesus' name. So what we wanted to do was actually get everyone to prophesy over each other and stretch your faith. And I just wanted to kind of activate your faith by sharing a few stories. I wouldn't consider myself one of those people that has an office of a prophet, but I know that God speaks to me because I have ears to hear. Just like you all do. So I remember a few years ago, oh gosh, when was it? Maybe 2009, 2010. We were just in an all-night prayer meeting and someone came to me and just decided to lay hands and prophesy over me. And they said, and this is like 4, 5 a.m. and I'm like on the floor fighting to stay awake. And they said, they came to me and they said something very strange. They amazing person, and I completely trust their gifting. And they said, you know, people used to believe the moon was made of cheese, and that got my attention. I was like, what on earth is this prophecy? And then she comes to me, and then she says, you know, you have these random thoughts and visions, and you see things in your head all the time, and you just think it's random, your random thoughts. You just think, oh, that's just me. I'm just daydreaming, and I do daydream a lot. She said, but actually, God's speaking to you all the time. He's given you pictures, he's given you visions, he's given you words, but you don't. You just think you're daydreaming. And it actually opened my eyes to the fact that actually God's talking to us all the time, and he travels, and his prophecies travel to us at the speed of thought. And so I wanted to start with that, because it really began this journey of learning to hear from God, because suddenly I had an expectancy that God is speaking in my thoughts and my mind, and that is how he primarily mostly speaks to us, isn't it? I just thought I'd share a few stories of some cool things that have happened. I couldn't remember the coolest ones, but I just wrote down this some of the stories this morning that I remember. I remember I was speaking at a women's aglow meeting somewhere, and I said, God, give me a word for this meeting. And I had a picture in my head, and I saw a woman with blonde hair called Sarah, and God said, she's the only person in this meeting who doesn't know me, who isn't a Christian yet, who isn't saved. And and I want you to preach the gospel to her in the form of telling the gospel in the form of, it was a bit random, he said, in the form of somewhat sin being like falling into poo. So I don't know what that was, and I was like, okay, God, if I said, right, God, I will preach the gospel in that form if I find only one person unsaved, and she looks exactly like I saw her in her mind, and she's called Sarah. And I got there, and in the worship, there was a woman sat down who looked exactly what I saw in my mind. I'd never seen her in my life, and I was like, oh, God, if her name's Sarah, then I'll do it, and if she's unsaved, I'll do it. And then I turned to someone, I was like, God, and I turned to my friend and I said, she isn't worshipping like everyone else, is she saved? And they went, no. And then suddenly, and then she got up and she was sharing a project that she wanted some of the women to get involved with, and her name was Sarah. So actually I just stepped out in faith and I said, Sarah, I was praying earlier and God just showed me exactly what you look like, and I told her everything, and then I just said, I believe God wants to speak to you. I didn't particularly have anything in my mind. I didn't feel like I'd got a prophetic word for her, but I just really put pressure on the Holy Spirit. I think the thing about prophecy is you have to put pressure where pressure is due. So you don't put pressure on yourself, because actually you can't do it in the flesh. It's not a flesh thing. It's a spirit thing. You have to put pressure on the Holy Spirit to speak. So actually you kind of let off the hook because if I'm wrong, I'm like, well, you let me down, Holy Spirit, so it's your fault. So I really spoke into her life and just talked about dreams and things, and it really spoke to her. I didn't get to talk to her much at the end of the meeting, but she came and she thanked me, and she was like, that was amazing. And at the beginning of the meeting, she was really skeptical, but after it, she was really, I don't know what happened to her. God will show me one day, I believe. Another story was a couple of weeks ago, we just decided to pray and prophesy over people. And we just stepped out in faith, took a risk. You've got to take risks. And this woman, I was praying for her, and I said, I've just got a picture of broccoli. And she just began to laugh at me, and she didn't give any inkling that anything was specific. So I gave this word about the broccoli. And then at the end of it, after I felt like a complete idiot, and James was looking at me like, Becky, what is this? she came to us both and said, do you know, in my family, there's this ongoing joke, I'm the one who throws the broccoli, because she threw broccoli at one of her daughters when she was a lot younger, and apparently it's a family in-joke, so I think I touched on that, which is amazing. God speaks to us in really personal ways, and sometimes you can feel like an absolute muppet when you're trying to explain what you feel God's saying, but man, it gives us some crazy stuff. Another lady we were prophesying over. Well, actually, I decided to sing prophesy over this lady. I went to her and I was like singing, and almost like singing over her life and casting out the spirit of death, and singing about mental health. And then she came and she said, I had a breakdown a few years ago and I've always felt really weak in my mental health, and I prophesied over her, and James did as well. That was a couple of weeks ago, right? And then the last one that I'll share is that we were in an all-night prayer meeting, and for some reason, 1 a.m. used to be the time when God would just do crazy things. So if you ever want to go to the all-night prayer meetings, go about 1 a.m. It's like the best time. So it was like the spirit of prophecy just fell, and all of a sudden, we just started getting these crazy words, and I looked and there was a guy across the room, and I turned to him, and we know him, let's call him Steve. So Steve, I turned to Steve and I said, Steve, I just see a picture of you surrounded by children, and I can see that, and I said, and they're not spiritual children, they're biological children. I feel like God's going to give you lots of children and lots of sons especially. And he burst into tears. What I didn't realize was that his wife had just had, the second miscarriage in a row or something like that. And he said it's just been impossible to for the pregnancy to really go on because her, is it uterus or something like that? That thing inside the woman that carries the baby. I've actually had a child, so I should know. But let's just call it a uterus in case it's right. So it was the shape of a heart, and it was quite an unusual shape. So she couldn't actually carry a baby for very long. She always ended up in miscarriages. And actually, I had quite a lot of opposition on this word because I think at the time, the wife was really broken, and the husband came home, and I just kept giving him words about having kids, and he was going home, and it felt like almost like she was being tormented because she wasn't in faith for it. But he really stuck at it and just kept praying and believing. And in fact, I even got in trouble with some leaders over it. Did I? I did, didn't I? I got in trouble with some leaders going, you know, it's not always best to take risky prophecies because, you know, this could ruin their lives if they don't end up having kids. And at first I was just devastated. I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. And then I was like, no, I really believe that was a word from God. And I'm in faith for this. Well, I'm not going to lower my standard of faith, anything below the Bible, just because of someone's experience or bad experience. So I just really stuck in strong. And James was like, do you really feel like you've heard from God? And I was like, I don't know, but I believe that I am. So I just kind of almost stubbornly in faith clung in there and said, yeah, I'm believing for it. I'm going to keep praying for them. And this was a year or two ago. And just recently, we found out that a couple of weeks ago, she had an operation that reversed everything in her uterus or whatever it is, that now she can actually carry a child normally. And to finish that off, I've had lots of dreams. And I think that I really specifically like to, that my favourite thing to do on a date with James is just to prophesy over each other, dream over each other. The other night we were at dinner and I just prophesied into a situation, finance for us, and I said, James, I really feel like breakthrough is now. And we were out for a date night in faith that we're not blowing money for no reason, and we just stepped out in faith and went out on a date, and I was just like, I believe breakthrough is now. And actually, we have been seeing that, haven't we?
Yes, we have been seeing that. And just to add a couple of things, and then we're going to do one thing. So I want you to think about, you know, what we talked about, having someone come up and all that stuff.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
What I wanted to add to, because when you hear testimonies like this, you can think, oh, that's a bit out there. That's not really me. A few things I want to say. One, we're not physical beings. We're spiritual beings living in a physical body. When God speaks, he speaks to our spirit. Your mind is the connection between your spirit and your soul. So it's somehow going to get to your mind somehow. Okay? And many times it comes in the form of thought. And it's not always an audible voice, booming voice. I mean, I think I've heard the audible voice of God once in my whole life. It's not always like an explosive thing. And I love the phrase naturally supernatural, where actually there's a lot of thoughts that come into our mind. In fact, this is the way sometimes I know things are not from me. Now, there are three sources of thoughts. One, you. Secondly, the enemy. And thirdly, from God. Okay, and what I find is thoughts that come from the spirit realm, in other words, God or the enemy, they many times very spontaneous thoughts, and they don't originate in my heart. It just comes. Now, my wife made a comment. I just want to add something to it. Yes, there are times where I think I'm hearing from God, and I've got it wrong. And that's not to say God has got it wrong. I've just misheard it. So I'm not saying Holy Spirit has got it wrong. Because there are times when I have thought that was a word from God and ended up just being maybe my own thought and I wasn't discerning correctly. But you know what's helped me in this process? Learning to step out on what I am feeling I think God is saying. And sometimes I won't go and say, thus says the Lord, A, B, C, D. I'll just say, I am sensing this. Okay? Now, backtracking and looking through the history I've had over the years of just stepping out and saying, I feel God saying this. And looking at the results from that, I've seen that actually most times it's been God and not me. And in fact, the times where I have thought God wasn't speaking, that can't be God. And I've just stepped in and said, you know, I just feel this. It has been God. And another thing I want to add to that is the way we are, God actually works with us very differently as individuals and how he speaks to us. How God speaks to us many times is dependent on our makeup, just our, you know, just who we are. You know, there's certain things that really connect with you and speak to you that God is not going to use those images to speak to me because they just mean nothing to me. Okay, so we have to be aware of the fact that God speaks to people differently. With my wife, she has a lot more prophetic words and pictures. For me, many times I'm praying for people. As I pray, as I speak, the words just come out and it bypasses my mind and things come out of my mouth that I'm not necessarily thinking about. And it's like a bubbling up of words. it's like this river of words just come. And it's not always pictures. I get less pictures. I get more words than pictures. I do get pictures every now and again. So I hope that makes that clear. We want to do one thing here. And the purpose of doing this is really to get you to see that God does speak. And you can hear from God. So do you want to do this next bit?
Yes, yes. So, okay. So, if you feel like you're someone, I want you to raise your hand if you're someone who feels like a bit like, almost like maybe skeptical about God speaking to you, or maybe you feel like, oh, God doesn't tend to speak to me like he does for Sharon over there, or maybe you just haven't had a word be spoken over you in a long time. Is there anyone there?
Okay.
Can we have you, please? What's your name, sorry? Pardon? Becca. Oh, great name. should we get someone else out as well? Okay, don't worry, we're not going to make you do anything. Well, maybe not. Okay. Lady over here. What's your name? Sylvia. I'm hearing great today. so we're not gonna make you do anything. We're gonna put pressure on everyone else to ask God for a word. Do you know what? Do you want to just open in prayer?
Okay. So what we're gonna do? Exactly what Becky said. You're gonna close your eyes and say, Lord, what do you want to say to Becca, and what do you want to say to Sylvia? Okay, yeah, we'll start with Becca. Okay, well, Lord, what do you want to say to Becca?
And I want you all to be asking, God, give me something for Becca that would encourage her.
Yes.
God, what do you want to say to Becca that makes her feel loved right now?
Okay. So are we okay with that? And it could be a picture, it could be a word, a scripture, just a phrase, something simple. That's all we're going to do. I'm going to pray right now. Let's close our eyes. Father, I thank you that you want to speak. I thank you that you are speaking. Your word says, we've just read it, that we are your sheep and we hear your voice. So I thank you that even in this exercise, we hear your voice, and that you're going to just speak clearly to Becca in a way that just builds her up, encourages her today. In Jesus' name. So we'll just have a short moment of pause, silence, and I'll just release you to speak.
So if you feel like you've got a picture or a word for Becca, can you just lift your hand? Anyone want to take a risk? Great. So anyone else? Okay. Can you keep it kind of raised? And if you get something in this time, can you please put your hand up? And I may pick on one or two of you to really put pressure on you to hear from God. So be ready. So, Becca, I got the picture of, like, a butterfly, but it's almost got, like, a broken, is it not a broken wing, but it's almost like that there is no brokenness there. But the butterfly feels like there is a brokenness there, so it's not flying right. And I really feel like God's saying that he's put amazing things in you, and I feel like God's saying you're a whole person, you're a healed person, there is no need for you to be afraid to step out and be yourself, because there's nothing wrong with you. The only thing stopping you from flying is just stepping out. I really saw that it was like a confidence thing, that there's just so much that God's put into you. You're already a beautiful butterfly. You're not a caterpillar. You're already there. God's already taken you through a process, and you've just got to trust in him. And I really see as you just almost spread your wings and just step out in faith, you're going to realize that actually you have nothing to be afraid of, because God's made you whole. He's made you complete. Everything that he's put in you is a good thing. Your personality, he's given you that personality. There's nothing to be ashamed of.
as Becky spoke, I know many of you know, it was only one person that raised their hand. Did that confirm anything else? But you didn't put your hand up. You were scared. But you see what I'm trying to say? When she starts to speak what she had, you're like, oh, I think I had that. Anyone else? Okay. Do you have something different? Do you want to say? Yeah, go on. Go on, tell us the word. Fruitful. Okay, well, we just released that over you. And I just want to pray over you, actually. Lord, I just I pray over Becca that all restrictions is broken off of her life in this season. And that she, your word says over her, you've not given her a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So, Father, in this season of her life, we declare that she finds a new place of revelation of your love that breaks out the limitation of fear, the fear of man, the opinions of people, and that she steps into a new boldness and confidence that only comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jonathan, did you have something for us?
Good. That's what you said as well, isn't it? That's awesome. That's awesome. Because of time, we're going to move over to... Sorry, I forgot your name again.
Sylvia.
Sylvia, yes.
I'm so good at
that. You can sit down if you want, Becca. We're going to move over to Sylvia, and then we're going to round up the meeting. So we're going to do the same thing again. And I want you to ask the Lord for a word to encourage Sylvia today. Father, I thank you for Sylvia, and I thank you for this church, Mount Chapel. Lord, we just release the spirit of prophecy. We know you're speaking right now, so we tap into what you're saying to encourage Sylvia today, and also to encourage us of the fact that we're hearing from you, and you are speaking to us.
So we're going to do the same again. If you have something for Sylvia, I want you to put your hand up. Even if you've not quite processed it yet, just put your hand up and we'll keep waiting for the words to finish. Thank you. I see those hands. Sylvia, I just saw, like a sky and it was black, but suddenly there was this crack through it, as if to say breakthrough. And I just see over you that there is an authority over your voice when you speak things that they happen. That when you pray things, they happen. You carry this very unusual authority. And I really feel like you should just step out and say things, say daring things, pray daring prayers, because you have authority to do so. You have a very unusual amount of authority. It's just a real blessing and favor over your life.
Let's go. I just got a sense of just freedom, breaking of shackles, and just freedom, like shackles on your feet. I just saw just a sense of God wanting to break off every shackle that stopped you from moving. In fact, I'm going to pray right now. Father, I thank you that this is the season of freedom, Lord, for Sylvia. So, Lord, as I lay my hands on her, Father, I break off any restriction and any limitation and anything that's held her back or kind of hindered her movement in the things you've called her to do. Lord, we release her into more of you in this season. We release her into the things that her giftings beginning to just blossom like never before. Her voice being heard. Father, any mute on her voice, we remove it right now. And we're declaring that your voice will come out from her mouth. And she will speak your word with confidence and with boldness. Father, we also just release over her just an increase of the prophetic anointing for her to move in dimensions she hasn't done before, speaking prophecies over people, speaking deliverance, words of just encouragement to people around her, Father. I think that you've planted her in unique situations to be a voice of encouragement and to bring change. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, I also felt that, when once you take authority over your chains and they're gone, you have authority over other people's chains. That when you break out of something, whatever you've known God as, a healer, a deliverer, a provider, what the things that you've encountered in your life, you have authority to speak over others to bring that deliverance and provision and healing for others. And yeah.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Over Sylvia, Lord, every heaviness just begins to lift, and that she steps into that place of just praise like she has not known before, in Jesus' name.
Word over here.
Oh, yes, at the back. Bless you, Sylvia. Thanks for being a volunteer.
If you've given a word or you still have a word but maybe you're too shy to say for these girls or anyone else in the room, it would be really nice if you could write it down for them. Yeah. That would be really encouraging.
And I believe in accountability. I know Becky shared a story about some leaders not being sure. I think that's right. I think when I say I mean that's right, Becky had a word and some leaders were like, well, I'm not sure about that. I think that is okay because prophecy is supposed to be tested, you know. So when people bring words like we're doing right now, you know, those of you who've been spoken over, I think I want to encourage you, you know, to even encourage the people who have given you words and you feel like it connects. Or you might want to go, well, did that make any sense to you? If it doesn't, okay, well, I'll try again. Because it's kind of like the idea of praying for the sick. You know, I've prayed for people and I've not seen them healed. And I've prayed for people and I've seen God do things. However, the fact that I don't see the healing happen right then does not mean I'm going to stop praying for healing. I'm not going to lower the standard of Scripture to my experience. I'm going to cause my experience to rise to the standard of Scripture. Are you with me? So it's like we're accountable with the words that we speak, you know, because I've seen people that just go into a meeting, just prophesy over everyone. You don't know where they've come from. There's no sense of accountability in their lives. They're just going around and just speaking all these words, and we don't really know where they've come from because there's no kind of alignment. So I think there is a need to be really careful about this whole thing and just being accountable in church with our leaders and all that kind of stuff. But really, the thing that was stirred in my heart for this morning, and I'm going to pray and finish now, is the verse, "My sheep hear my voice." And I hope by doing this short exercise, I know not everyone got to speak, but it's the fact that you've got to be aware that the things of the Spirit, even God speaking, sometimes can feel so naturally supernatural. It doesn't feel always spectacular sometimes. It feels very natural. And this is my last statement, I promise. I promise, really. Spiritual maturity is in the consistent application of elementary things. And knowing the occasional application of spectacular things. Spiritual maturity comes as a secondary consequence of the consistent application of elementary things. not the occasional application of spectacular things. We always try to, we always get wowed by the explosion. Oh, wow, God did this, and, you know, and, you know, went for a conference here and conference there. But actually, the way God works, the way I've seen God work, is in the mundane, day-to-day, reading my Bible, spending time in prayer. Those consistent, elementary things cause you to mature in your ability to discern what God's saying. It's not just the spectacular conference you went for, or even the spectacular prophecy you go here a year ago or 2 years ago. It's in the elementary things. Keeping that consistent builds the foundation for you to grow in your ability to discern God's voice. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for Mount Chapel. I thank you for what you're doing here. Lord, I thank you that you're releasing a well in this place. I know there's been wells here. Lord, we just speak, Lord, the bursting forth of that well, the wells of salvation, of deliverance, Lord, even for this community and beyond. I thank you for what this place represents. And we stepping into the Jubilee this year, Father, 50 years, we just declare that this is the season where things shift, where things have been stagnant for a while. Lord, we're declaring a momentum to Mount Chapel right now. We speak a momentum to every area of this church. And we thank you that, Lord, your will be done here, and your kingdom will manifest in this place more than ever before. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sorry I went a bit over, but thank you for having me, and Becky.